Well, we've certainly been blessed with the music today, haven't we? If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to St. Mark, to chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse 12 and read through 21, verse 12 through 21. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. That is, what we believe and how we live our lives. Therefore, if we want to know God's will and God's way, we go right to God's Word. Here He speaks to us. Listen to what God has to say to you in this portion of Holy Scripture. And on the first day of unleavened bread, now remember that Jesus is in the last week of His life. He has made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It is now Thursday of that week, Palm Sunday. He made His triumphant entry. The days have gone by. Now it's Thursday night, the feast of the Passover. And the next day He will be put to the cross. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And He sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the householder, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready there. Prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it as He had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, He came with the 12. And as they were at table eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Can you imagine the stunned silence that first followed that announcement? They began to be sorrowful and to say to Him one after another, "Is it I? Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Our meditation is entitled, "When Love Divides Your Heart." Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to Him one after another, "Is it I? Oh, is it I?" May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, we're all prone to betray You one way or another. And as we think about that today, Father, and as we ask the question, "Is it I?" give us insights to help us, Lord, to be more faithful. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A tragedy had struck the little band of men that followed Jesus. In their midst was a traitor. And Jesus had said, "One of you shall betray me." And the disciples must have begun to look at one another with sudden suspicion and doubt. Half fearfully, they said to Him one by one, "Lord, is it I?" Everything had been going so well for them, they might have known it was too good to be true. This had been the week of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It must have seemed like a dream to have received such a joyous welcome from the people of the city. After all, over the past 3 years, they had endured so much. There had been rejection, hardship, privation. Many times they must have wondered, "Did we make the right decision when we decided to follow Him?" Frequently they must have asked themselves, "Was Peter right when he said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God?'" But now the fellowship that had been knit together by shared experiences was suddenly threatened to come apart because one of you shall betray me. There was one at the table with Jesus who who didn't have to ask, "Lord, is it I?" No, he knew. And when he did whisper that fateful question, he must have done so just to be sure, does he really know it is I? So when he asked and the answer came back, "Thou hast said," his heart must have leaped in his breast. Yes, he knew. What do you think brought Judas to this fateful moment? What needs did he have? What compulsions were his? What motivations drove him to the point that in order to meet his own needs, he had betrayed Jesus? How could a man have lived in the fellowship of the disciples, walked in the presence of the Son of God, listened to his teachings, watched his miracles, seen his healings? How could he go out into the dark night to betray him? It really is incredible, isn't it? And because it's so incredible, men have sought to explain why Judas did what he did. Some say he was trying to force the hand of Jesus, make him declare himself king, and rally the people against Rome. Others say he was trying to make the people support him and rally around him. And some say he was trying to force the priests to come to some decision about Jesus. But I suppose the best clue comes from the Bible itself. Surely those who knew Judas best could provide the best evidence as to why he betrayed Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that Judas had a heart divided by love. You see, Judas loved Jesus, but the Bible tells us he loved money also. We're told he resented it when some expensive perfume was used to anoint Jesus because it could have been sold and the money put in the treasury. And we're told that he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put into it. You'll find that in the 12th chapter of St. John. Do you think Judas really loved Jesus? I do. I believe Judas loved Jesus very deeply. If he didn't, how can you explain his stubborn discipleship over those three hard, difficult years? If he didn't, how can you understand his suicide? He had to be overwhelmed by remorse, regret, grief to do that. Yes, I believe Judas really loved Jesus. The problem was, you see, Judas didn't love Jesus only. He loved something else. He loved money too. A heart divided by love. And doesn't that bring sharply into focus something Jesus once said? He said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Do you have the same problem Judas had? I do. Like Judas, I discover there are some secret loves in my life, loves that divide my heart. I suspect it is true of all of us here this morning. We have passions of the soul that get out of control, and we find ourselves doing things that are shameful and sinful. Do you ever find yourself cutting some moral corner just slightly? Do you find yourself pushing Jesus into the background because there is something more pressing in your life at the moment? Do you find pride or greed or envy or selfishness or lust controlling and dominating your life? And it isn't because we don't love Jesus. No, it's because we don't love Jesus only. Him first above all. So like Judas, we find ourselves so often denying Jesus. Our hearts are divided by our loves. As the Lord put it, no man can serve two masters. But notice what happened to Judas. He became a traitor. Do you suppose that ancient traitor in his flowing Mideastern garb was much different from you or me? Notice that Judas, first of all, betrayed himself, and sometimes that's the worst thing we can do is to betray ourselves. And when he did, he lost two blessings. The first blessing he lost was a spiritual blessing. The blessing of giving. Do you remember how Jesus put it? He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you know that? That those times when out of unselfish love you do something for somebody else, how you get blessed, how good it makes you feel. Sometimes I'll do something for Sydney that I don't have to or haven't been asked to do, but because I love her and I want to do it, I'll do it. And she's pleased, but I get the blessing. I get it because it brings me joy. And that's the blessing, you see, that Judas missed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But there's a second way in which Judas denied himself a blessing. And he thereby betrayed himself. You see, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And you can imagine somebody filling up a bushel basket with grain and pressing it down and shaking it so more can go in and overflowing. You see, if you give, he will bless you. That's a promise of God. In the long run, you'll have more than ever. In Malachi, God says, put him to the test. If we bring our full tithes, he will open the windows of heaven and pour down for us an overflowing blessing. Now, there's some of you here this morning who can testify that as you have given, God has just blessed you richly. Maybe you're familiar with the Sony Boy restaurants. They were started and owned by a Presbyterian. The next time you're out on the highway and you're hungry and you pass a Shoney Boy, you stop and help a Presbyterian. From the beginning, he tithed everything he made. However, as his business prospered, the amount of his tithe became quite large. And he went to his pastor. Pastor, he said, the amount of my tithe is so large now that I'm concerned about giving that much money away. Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Oh, said his pastor, indeed it does. Listen, don't you worry about this matter at all. I will take care of it myself. Tonight I'll begin to pray, and I'll tell the Lord that he has blessed you so much that your tithe is too big to give to him anymore. And I'll ask him to reduce your profits and reduce your income until you can afford to tithe again. Pastor, please don't do that, the man said. I understand perfectly, and I'll keep giving my tithe. Yes, God had richly blessed him. You just can't outgive God. And I've never known anyone who gave to the Lord who wasn't richer for it. John Bunyan put it this way, a man there was, they called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Don't betray yourself out of a twofold blessing, the spiritual blessing of giving and the material blessing of those who simply cannot outgive God. So Judas betrayed himself. Notice in the second place that Judas also betrayed his fellow disciples. The 12 had become a close-knit group over the 3 years of their discipleship. Through all of those hardships and privations, in the good times and the exciting times, they had developed this wonderful fellowship, a love and a trust and a mutual support of one another. Now suddenly into this fellowship was injected this explosive charge, one of you shall betray me. In days past, they'd counted on each other, and now they couldn't anymore. A traitor was in their midst, setting off catastrophic events that were to end in tragedy on Calvary. And when they stood from afar, watching that event, with tears streaming down their faces, they were men who had been betrayed and sold out by a fellow disciple. When we join the church, one of the questions we ask is this. You were asked it and you said yes, and here's the question. Do you promise to support the church in its worship and its work to the best of your ability? Are you keeping that promise? Are you supporting the work of the church the best you can? If not, are you betraying somebody? Are you carrying your full load in the Fellowship of Central this morning? Are you doing your share of the teaching? your share of the committee work, your share of serving, your share of singing, and are you giving your fair share? Giving as God has prospered you. If not, are we not betraying the fellowship? We have approximately 2,800 members. We went over the 2,800 mark last month as we're growing, as God's prospering us. Our giving this year will be about $650 per member. Now, that counts everybody who is a member of the church, not the little children, but those who've joined. Now, assuming that there are three persons on an average in each household that belongs to the church, that means that we're receiving a tithe on less than $20,000 per family. Now, do you think the income of this congregation averages that low? I would guess it probably averages more than twice that. Now, many of you do give sacrificially, many of you who make less than that. But often your giving has to make up for those who have plenty, but who fail and betray the fellowship because they don't give adequately. To betray yourself is bad. To betray your fellow disciples, your fellow church members, is worse still. But the most evil thing Judas did was to betray God. And at the end, Judas went back and he tried to undo what he had done, but it was too late. In bitter remorse, he went and hanged himself. Does God want our money when we can afford it, if there ever is such a time? Or does he want it when he gives it to us so that we can trust him? Listen, do you think Uncle Sam and the IRS is content for you and me to show our loyalty and our support of the government and our patriotism by singing lustily, "My country, 'tis of thee"? No way. Uncle Sam says, fill out these forms, tell me your income, and send me my part. Now let me ask you, does a lusty singing of "Praise God from whom all blessings flow" satisfy God? No way. He says, bring the full tithe. In one place, the Bible says of Jesus, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the multitudes putting money into the treasury. And you'll remember that's when he saw the widow put in her last coin. And maybe sitting opposite the treasury is the rightful place for Jesus. This man who died for us, who redeemed us, who saved us, has a right to be at our elbow when we write our checks, when we open our pay envelope, when we invest our money, when we pay our bills. He has a right to watch us, for he has bought us with a price, and we are his. And I suspect he's the only one with such a right. The right to take his place over against the treasury and watch what you and I do with our money. Yes, Judas the traitor, he betrayed himself, he betrayed his fellow disciples, he betrayed Jesus. That day Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? Is it I? And then Judas leaned over and said, is it I? And Jesus replied, thou hast said. If you ask that question, Lord, is it I? What will Jesus say to you? Let us pray. Lord, some of us who tithe betray you too by the lives we live. So it's not enough just to give our money, but it's not enough just to live for you either. It's both and. And Father, I pray that if we are betraying you, we'll make a commitment right now that we're going to recommit our hearts and our lives and our resources to you to be the people you call us to be. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for that. And Lord, help us to so live life that when we stand in heaven to be judged and we say, Lord, is it I? You'll say, no, enter into the joy of your Lord. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.